Our confessional reading is from Article 2. It's on page 855 in your hymn book. Article 2, the means by which we know God. We know Him by two means. First, by the creation, preservation, and government of the universe, since that universe is before our eyes like a beautiful book, in which all creatures, great and small, are as letters, to make us ponder the invisible things of God, His eternal power, and His divinity, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1:20. All these things are enough to convict men and to leave them without excuse. Second, He makes Himself known to us more openly by His holy and divine word, as much as we need in this life for His glory and for the salvation of His own. And I'd also ask you to turn to Psalm 19. Keep that open. We'll look at that together. We started this last week as the first part of Article 2, and now the second part we'll be focusing on. First part of Article 2 is referring to the universal, undeniable testimony of creation that God is and that He is glorious. Also, Psalm 19, 1 through 6 is referring to the same. Creation, the universe, what God has made is enough to reveal that there is a supreme being, an intelligent creator, wise, powerful, and good. It's enough to render all men accountable, and in fact will be used in the day of judgment to convict men of their sin. They will have no legitimate defense for denying God. Let's read it there in Psalm 19, 1 through 6. This is God revealing Himself, making Himself known in creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, in which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of the heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Creation. Creation makes known our God. Men should acknowledge God because of it. They should glorify and thank Him because of it. However, without special revelation, remember that's general revelation, without special revelation of the Word, they cannot sufficiently know Him, and they cannot be saved. General revelation, that is, God's handiwork in creation, does not save. Special revelation is used by God to make Himself clearly known and known in a saving way. General revelation is the world He has made. The wonderful means by which we know there is a God. But the Word He has spoken and later committed to writing is the means we know by which we know Him clearly and savingly. That's special revelation. Let's read that in Psalm 19, 7. We'll read through the rest of the chapter. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So here we are given Psalm 19, 7 through 9 specifically. We're given six titles of the Word of God and six commendations to impress upon us how useful the Word of God is, the written Word of God is. The purpose then is to excite in us a true estimate of the Word of God, the true benefit and its value, to yield its wonderful fruit to us, and that we should then submit to the Word of God in faith and obedience, to love it, to cling to it, to prize it more than any other thing. Six titles. And know, with each of these titles of the Word of God, they each include the Lord's name. Yahweh, in fact, which means it's not a vain repetition. It possesses full authority. The Word of God possesses full authority and teaches us that God's Word should never be seen apart from Him. This is God's Word. And that's always something I mentioned to you, as those of us who maybe have grown up, maybe become very familiar with the Word, that we be very careful not to treat it lightly or as a trivial thing, but to remember always that this is the Word of God. So all these are, these six titles, all these are synonyms of the Word of God. It's law, verse 7, Torah. It is the revelation of His will. That means it's the revelation of His will. It's instruction, it's teaching. It would include the Ten Commandments, the law of the Ten Commandments. The law of in the first five books is called the Torah. And the law is, and this refers to the law as the whole Word of God and the will of God. It's a testimony, the second part of verse 7. That is, it's a witness. The Word of God is a witness to the truth of God. The Word of God is a witness to the truth of all it speaks about God and all it speaks about man. Statutes, number 3, statutes, verse 8. Statutes refers to orders, charges, the governor's governing. Precepts can be translated declarations concerning man's obligation. Number 4, commandments, second part of verse 8, of 180 times that this is used in the authorized version, 177 times it's used for commandments, and rarely anything else. Commandments, they're to be obeyed. Fear is interesting, the fear of the Lord, verse 9. Interesting to call the Word and law of God, the fear of the Lord, isn't it? Because that would seem to normally express what should be our response to the Word. And maybe that's why it's called that. But here the Word is called the fear of the Lord. It may have the idea that it is awesome, it is great, or it is named for what response it demands. Named for what it should elicit in us, a healthy fear, a respect, I've begun to see this word as I, you know, as you read and read over the years, you begin to see this word fear, and you're always wondering what's the difference between this and the fear of Adam in the garden, right? It's not that fear. This is a fear by which we are to know God, to worship God. It almost seems to be equivalent to worship. So this is not an unhealthy fear, but this is a reverence. This is a knowledge of God and a proper worship that comes from that knowledge. The truth of God, the doctrine of God, the word of God produces fear. Good fear. Sixth title, judgments. Second part of verse 9, the justice ordinances. This is a kind of legal term for used for that which decides cases. His judicial decisions, God's judicial decisions. Six titles of the word. Six commendations of the word are here as well. It's perfect, it's sure, it's right, it's pure, it's clean, it's true, it's righteous altogether. So here are the commendations of its value to us. First commendation, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. It means without blemish, without spot, it's complete, it's sincere. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Restoring the soul, returning, literally, returning the life. That's interesting. And I guess it can mean it that the word of God is refreshing to know, refreshing to obey it. That is true, but that's not close to sufficient to what this means, is it? The word of God is life-giving. The law of the Lord is life-giving. New life. Eternal life. What is unique with God's word as compared to his voiceless creation, which nevertheless speaks so loudly in its own way, right, is that this written word is a saving word. It converts the soul. If you apply yourself to the word of God, it converts the soul. Testimony of creation condemns. It makes one accountable. It doesn't save. Creation alone never leads to salvation. The Word of God can lead to salvation because it leads us to the Savior. In 2 Timothy 3:14, Paul says to me, you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of them, knowing from whom you have learned them. That can refer to his mother or grandmother, but I think it refers to him. Timothy learned them from Paul. Verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. That really refers to his mother and grandmother. But watch this. 2 Timothy 3:15. You have known the Holy Scriptures and the teaching of Paul, which is the apostle, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The Word of God leads us to Jesus Christ, and salvation is found in him. Second commendation, 7, verse 7b, the testimony of the Lord is sure. Now that is translated believe 44 times, faithful 20 times, established 7, sure 11. What this means, when it says the testimony of the Lord is sure, it means it's stable. It's dependable. This is actually used of a foster father or a foster mother or a nursemaid. It's used of pillars, which are sure and firm and stable. It's used of something established, something reliable, certain, something that can be believed. The scripture is sure. Specifically, making wise the simple. Simple here means open-minded. Open-minded. I love it when people say, you need to be open-minded. You need to open your mind to the Scripture, what you need to do, and put the Scripture in it. It's amazing how closed-minded people are about that. Simple here means open-minded. Those who, and really it means, what does it mean then? It means those who are easily led astray. This word of God will ground you. It will establish you. Those who listen to the testimony of the word of God and give their attention to it and study it and apply it, it will ground you. It's a word you can live by and you can rely upon it. It makes wise the simple. Isn't that what David said? Said in Psalm 119:99, that the great psalm of the word of God, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Does it ever amaze you that there are people that will read worldly book after worldly book of this so-called expert, this scientist, this doctor, and these experts? They'll read them all, and they will not go to the most reliable wisdom of all, God. Third commendation. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right. They're right, rejoicing the heart. Right means straight, upright, correct, fitting, proper. Rejoicing the heart, it seems that this means that to follow the word of God means things will work out just as God said they will. His word is always right. When you follow it, you can have an inner joy and satisfaction that it will always be right, no matter how the outward circumstances appear. Maybe as the world crumbles around you, those who follow the truth, though, can have an inner peace. You might have that idea. You might have an inner peace. It will rejoice your heart because it's right. Whatever the word tells you, however the circumstances, outward circumstances seem wrong or appear wrong or incorrect, you can always go to the word and know that it is always right. Fourth commendation, verse 8, the middle part. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Pure, sincere, the idea here. Clean. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. What this means is that God's commandments have no flaw in them. There's no mixing of bad within the truth. There's no faulty alloy of the smallest impurity. No defect. They give purity. They give light. They give light to the eyes. Enlightening the eyes is they give understanding. Scripture gives understanding. They help you see clearly. They are pure, that is for the mind. They will give you a proper worldview. They'll give you a proper way to think, the proper way to see things. It will give you principles. If it doesn't specifically address a situation, it will give you principles how to handle every situation that you need to. By His word, you can distinguish between good and evil. Psalm 119, 104, through your precepts, again David says, through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. I am able to identify the false way and the true way. The next verse is that famous verse. You love it. I love it. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Fifth commendation, verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Clean, interesting. This is used of clean animals. This is used of clean ceremonially. It's also used of physical cleanliness. but morally and ethically clean, it's used of. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Stands in perpetuity. Stands eternal. The word produces in us a fear that has its cleansing effect. I think that's what it's saying. The word produces in us a fear that has its cleansing effect. When men are afraid of God, what do? When men are afraid of God, apart from his knowledge, apart from his revealed will, they generally, in their fear, invent false religion. They invent God. The primitive fear, say the moon, the sun, and their gods, and they worship them. The more sophisticated worship, fear, and maybe science today, maybe politics, and men worship it. Because it's certainly not true science. But when men submit to the word of God, then they truly fear in a proper way, and they worship the true God as he prescribes, as he commands, as he reveals. And it, as such, it cleanses from all error. Sixth commendation, verse 9, the second part. The judgments of the Lord are true. True means firm, faithful. Refers to faithfulness. It's translated sometimes stability. The judgments of the Lord are stable. Used of God's attributes, in fact, and of his covenant faithfulness. That is a strong, unalterable binding firmness, isn't it? The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Then now these six titles round out the fullness of the word. These six commendations touch every area of life. And then the psalmist goes on to speak of how it's more precious than gold, sweeter than honey. It can, it's useful to point out errors, has great reward, etc., etc. The writings of men, the philosophers, the scientists, they sometimes touch on the truth. You know, a small percentage. Sometimes they're bouncing off the surface of the truth. But they're not perfect. They're not perfect. Their usefulness is the usefulness of the worldly experts is often like scraps and crumbs under the table. Not to mention all the positive harm that they tend to do. Sometimes poison taken in by their other error. All truth, it is true, all truth is God's truth, but not all so-called truth is truth. Only submitting to the word will you have the discernment of what is truth and what is not. And the creation itself is loud and inaudible voice as is raised by the heavens, nevertheless, and universal, nevertheless, it does not reveal the details of God, of who God is. It doesn't reveal right worship, and you cannot be saved by it. It condemns. It renders inexcusable, but it cannot save. The Word of God by the Spirit of God restores the soul, saves and equips for service, enlightens the mind of truth, makes one wise, gives one discernment, assures right worship. It leads us to Jesus Christ, to the true knowledge of Jesus Christ, which is saving. Let's always refresh ourselves in the Word. Always revitalize ourselves. Always come back to it as the very word of God, which is his message to us, and let us worship him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your very precious word, which the psalmist, by your Spirit, conveys to us. Let us exalt it above the nightly news, the internet surfing, the speculations of men, the so-called experts. Let us give our attention to the Word of God. And this is what you bless. This is what you bless. This is how you save. And let us, therefore, truly thank you and glorify you and know you as you are. Take your word and tear down our false speculations, our false images of you, and let us know you as you are. In Jesus' name, amen.